Downloading. 98%. 99%. Download complete. The episode will begin in
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Tech Talk, the technology show for blind and partially sighted people. Your hosts this week are Stephen Scott.
Oh, hello.
Sean Preece.
Hello.
And Tim Schwartz.
Hello there.
Hey! Welcome once again to Tech Talk, that technology show that's got the world talking, saying things like, I wish they would just get on with it. Hello, I'm Stephen Scott. Also with me this week, as always, Sean Preece and Tim Schwartz. Hi, guys.
Hello, Stephen.
Hello, Stephen.
Oh, right, it's like that. Okay, we're off to that kind of start. Okay, yeah. Fine.
Short and sweet.
Yeah, I think it's because we got Tim up today. Sorry, Tim.
That's all right. It's all good.
We've also got Slighty Guy Chris back with us.
Hello, I come bearing a massive sack of emails.
Oh, I know.
Hooray!
I know. Our inbox is packed.
It is.
I think we'll have to start deleting soon, you know. You don't get so many emails and it says, right, time to start deleting your emails. But no, we get so many emails in, and thank you so much to everyone who does that, because it really means a lot to us. We've got lots to talk about this week in the emails, of course. Some interesting news doing the rounds as well. And whilst we do have a lot of emails to get through and lots of audio contributions to the programme this week, I also thought it'd be maybe nice to try and get to some of the news. We only have the hour, which is a bit of a problem, but we'll do what we can. And one particular feature that I think you might be interested in, we'll do this a bit later, and that is me trying out a new app. Yes, I thought I'd actually do some work for this week's programme, guys.
Wow, is it a leap year?
Well, this week I will be reviewing the BBC Sounds app. This is the app which is out, which replaces BBC iPlayer Radio. And for Tim here, who may, I don't know if you've got access, I don't think you get access to this in America yet. I think you will at some point, but not yet.
Yeah, we still have the old iPlayer. We don't have the new one yet, I don't think.
Well, this is not the iPlayer that you get the TV shows on. This is where you get the radio shows and you get all of the BBC radio content. So we'll hear a bit about that because we got a lot of emails in about it this last week, actually. So that's coming up and lots more on this week's Manic Tech Talk. The pressure is on, guys, this week because Sean is having to leave immediately after the programme. He may not even make it to the end of the programme. We've said this for years, actually, but we have felt this for a long time. But yes, you are having to disappear for a while, Sean, aren't you?
I am, yes. We may get an angry taxi man banging on the shed door at any moment, so I'm in a bit of a rush.
Okay, well, I'm very sorry to keep you.
No, it's fine.
It's nice to know that our listeners feel so valued that you've decided to leave halfway through. But
I've got to go shopping.
Yeah, exactly. As long as you're buying gadgets, we don't mind if you're buying gadgets. If you're not buying gadgets, then you're a disgrace to humanity.
Lamb chops, that's enough for me.
What was it Trump said? Rude and terrible person. Anyway, let's get into this week. I want to start off with some news, big news actually, that you can get Lady A on Windows 10 computers now.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I didn't hear this. How did I miss this? I'm out of the loop.
No, that's common. I mean, Tim will have heard about it.
Okay.
You won't have. Because you don't read the news. You actually, you know, you are like the audience. You come here for the news.
I do. Exactly right.
That's why it turns up every week. But yeah, Alexa. Oh, I said it.
Oh!
Do you know, every time, every time. Honestly. I know. Well, basically, Lady A is now available on Windows 10 machines. Now, what this means is that we heard, I think, a couple of months back that Acer, was it Acer or Asus?
I can't remember
which one it was. Was it Acer?
Acer laptop.
They had brought out the Windows 10 on their machines with Lady A built in. But now you can actually get it on any device, although it does say on the website, rather interestingly, on compatible Windows 10 machines, which I'm not entirely sure what that means. I'm not sure what compatible, you know, does it have to be a certain specification or what, doesn't tell us on the website. But it's a very interesting story. I think this is quite good. I think it is quite limited at the moment. It won't do a lot of functions because, of course, Cortana is the assistant that you would use on the machine. But I'm quite excited to have Lady A on the computer. Are you excited about this, guys?
Lady A excites me. You know that. I love her. So, yeah, of course. As you said, if it's not a real Echo product, then it is slightly limited. You can't drop in and things like that. But still, anything that I can use the smart control for turning lights on and off and things like that, it is important. If I can get Lady A everywhere, then fantastic.
Yeah, it is really nice to see them being able to bring Lady A to something like Windows. And yeah, the more places you can have Echo technology, the better, in my opinion. Although this is tricky, because if you wanted to get an Echo Dot or an Echo for your computer room / office, well, you've already got it in the computer, so you don't have to buy another one. So I don't know about the strategy there. But that being said, it depends on how limited it really is. If it is just lacking communications and drop-in, things like that, that's not bad. If I can still get information and control my home and things like that with it, that's really nice. I'm glad that they've done this.
Well, Lady A, imagine that as your starter. And now I'm going to give you your main course. Don't ask what dessert is. But your main course, I haven't thought about that far yet. But yeah, let's say you only had a starter on the main on this particular meal. So the main this time round would be...
An ill-thought-out analogy. Welcome to Tech Talk.
Welcome to another one, yeah. Well, this one is... the main course for me is that you can now use Narrator, the latest edition on Windows 10. And do you know what?
Here it comes.
Do you know what?
What?
It's good.
Oh, I've had this for the last few days. You and Tim, Narrator's lovely. It's fantastic. Fake news is what I'm saying.
It's not fake news. I'm telling you, so the new version, you have to get the October update on your computer. If you've got Windows 10 and you get the October update onto your machine, you will get a brand new version of Narrator. Now, I know they're just saying it's an upgrade. I think it's a brand new version, because it feels to me as if it's been rewritten from the ground up. It's fast. It responds. It's a new keyboard layout, so it's more like NVDA and JAWS now than it's ever been, because you can use the same kind of command. You can even use the insert or the caps lock as the modifier keys if you want. So it's a really good tool, and I think for beginners who are just maybe dabbling in the whole world of screen reader, you know, all you have to do is hold down Windows Control and then press the Enter key, and you've got Narrator on any computer. In fact, if you really want to annoy people, go into a computer store, press Control, Windows, and Enter on every laptop, and just leave and see what happens. It is hilarious, trust me. I'm not saying to do that, it's terrible. But yeah,
childish.
It's very childish, but it is very funny. I do the same in the Apple Store with VoiceOver, equally as amusing. But they know how to turn it on and off. But no, it is a really useful thing, and I think finally they have upgraded it to a point where, and it is not without its faults, and I'm going to do a proper review of it for next week's show. I promise I will sit down and do a proper review of it. But so far, my experience has been, I'd say, 80% positive.
Wow.
Now, Tim, I know you've had a look at it as well, and I'm hoping you feel the same.
Actually, Stephen, I do. Yay! Spent... better part of 2 days this past weekend or so just using Narrator. I forced myself not to use NVDA or JAWS, tried to do everything within Narrator. Now, there's a bit of a learning curve. Some of the functions are different than they are in NVDA or JAWS. But once I learned what those commands were and got a little more used to them, I would not say that this is a fully fledged integrated screen reader like a JAWS, like an NVDA. But like you said, 80%, that's pretty fair, I think. That's pretty close. It's a lot better than the old days of Narrator, where we turned it on long enough to read a prompt or, well, download NVDA with it.
Yeah.
So it is much more functional. You can navigate the web with it. Apps, you know, seem to flow a lot better. Like you said, the responsiveness of it is so much better. I've opened up just a Notepad document and then a Word document just to see the difference in typed and, you know, in those documents. And it seems a lot cleaner, lot easier to use.
Yeah.
It really does, because I've gone back and forth now since then with NVDA and even JAWS, and it does respond rather quickly. So I am impressed with it. Now, Sean, I know you've been saying fake news about this for the last few days, but have you given it a proper try?
No, haven't even tried it yet. But no, look, joking aside, it's great news. If this really has improved that much, and let me just say, a lot of the features you've said there have been in Narrator a while, you know, the caps lock and the cursor keys, and it's better than it ever was. Now, the problem I have with it is that it slowed down. If you're in File Explorer or moving around the settings, then it would get slower and slower and slower, and I'm waiting for it to catch up. And that, for a screen reader, is the thing that makes me say it's not ready. So if that has been solved, then fantastic news. I will give it a go. I'm not actually sure I'm running the October update yet. So will try it out.
You will know when it's changed over, because it is, I mean, it is night and day. And it is, I mean, I'm not even joking around, it is night and day from the previous version, which was slow. No. It was, frankly, to me, useless. I agree totally with Tim. It was the thing you used. If you used a screen reader, it was the screen reader to download another screen reader.
Yes.
In fact, the laugh was, at the time, I was downloading, I used it to download NVDA so that I could download JAWS. I mean, that's how bad it was. And what a path to get to where I was trying to get to. But what's interesting is, so my computer had a few problems. Sean and I were on the phone over the weekend, and it was like, I can't get this computer to work, and it kept going wrong, and blue screen of death.
Tech talk.
Yeah, I know. And I'd put some new RAM in my computer to build up the memory in it, and it wasn't seeing it, and then we realised I was running the wrong operating system, and I had to get in touch with Microsoft. That's a whole other story, by the way. Be My Eyes uses or has got the access to the Microsoft Disability Answer Desk. Honestly, this is the best thing ever, because I was able to get someone on the line who could see my screen, figure out what the problems were, get into my account so she could actually see, right, this license isn't attached to this, we'll fix that. And then she was able to download a new version of Windows for me, create the installation disk, get it all up and running. I mean, it didn't work, but that's beside the point. But the fact is that all that support was there, and they were absolutely brilliant. And what I loved was, the first thing she asked me when I got on Be My Eyes, and this is, remember, this is Be My Eyes, the app we talk about, which has got access to all the volunteers who, you know, help and give their time freely to help us. This is a secondary part to that called Specialized Help. So if you ever get the button you hear, it says Call First Available Volunteer, swipe right, it'll say Specialized Help, and you'll get access to the Microsoft Disability Answer Desk, the actual team. They asked me what my disability was, if I wouldn't mind telling them. I did. And then I said, they asked me if I used any screen reader. And I said, at this point, I'm using Narrator. She said, fine. And then she was able to direct me via tabs, via the appropriate key commands that would be required for that screen reader. I was actually bowled over by the level of support they were able to give, to the point where they were wanting me to do this myself, not them doing it for me, as much as possible. And it was incredible.
Absolutely amazing.
But on top of that, Narrator was great. And as a result of it, it didn't work out in terms of the result I was looking for. Wasn't perfect. But what I was able to do was then, bizarrely, and I'm going to say this, and please, I hope I'm still standing after this, shock awaits, but with Sean's help, and I've never thought I've heard those words before.
Expert help, thank you.
Sean's help, I was able to use Narrator to reformat my hard drive, install Windows, get it all up and running, download all the software I required. But here comes the bit about Narrator that's most interesting. Yes, it did all that, and I was actually more impressed that I was able to do all that without the screen. It was amazing. I did it completely on my own. But then...
Well done.
Thank you. But what also makes it brilliant is that I had installed JAWS. I'd just installed the 40-minute demo of JAWS 19 to try it out. And I went to the Microsoft Office website to get Office 365 because I subscribed to it, so I wanted to install it. Couldn't get to the Install Apps button. And I thought, hang on, I wonder. Turn JAWS off, turns on Narrator, Control Windows Enter, starts up Narrator instantly. And I was able to get to the button, install, and go through all the process, and it was easy as anything. And I thought, actually, do you know what? I've turned JAWS off to use Narrator. I would never have thought to do that in my life. I'm not saying this is a replacement, and Tim says the same.
Everyone uninstall JAWS and NVDA now.
Yeah, just get rid of it. Bennett, delete your license. No, I'm not saying that at all, and I'm with you, Tim. It's not a replacement for JAWS or even NVDA at this point, although I think it's getting close to possibly being up against NVDA. No way. I said it.
It's close, yeah.
So we shall see.
Possible, viable alternative, but possible, yes.
Well, no, hang on a minute. Let's not go crazy here, because, again...
You haven't tried it yet.
No, I haven't tried this update.
How do you know?
But what about before, aside from the lack of response to it, there was the limitation, the amount of... If I go to a website, I want to hit X to go to the next checkbox, or B to go to the next button, G for the next graphic headings.
And you do that, all that.
that was limited as well. So if there's more elements...
You can do all that.
You can, are you sure?
Yes, because I've tried it. And not only that, I haven't gone into all the details. I think Tim's probably got more into the command list than I have at this point. I just kind of like to muck around with it, press keys and see what happens. But this new scan mode is interesting. It kind of links it, I would say...
That's not new.
Well, it's not new, no, but it certainly functions better than it used to.
It's a lot better than it used to be. Think of, I guess, more talkback on the Android would be comparable because you use caps lock and up and down arrows to change it from headings and words, you know, links. Pages, you know, paragraphs, things like that, and then right and left arrow to scan down the page and things, and it actually works well. It takes some getting used to if you're not used to that kind of a mode, but it does work very well compared to how it used to.
Sounds a little bit to me, just from my experience of it, it feels a little bit like VoiceOver on the Mac.
Yes,
it's kind of got that similar function, but I will say this: it's better than the Mac trying to navigate around that because that's quite fiddly. So, yeah, I am impressed. Try it, Sean, try it. And anyone else who's listening who's maybe thought about it, if you've got the October update, try it out.
All right, you two. Why don't you just get married? Blimey. Yeah, look, as I said, right, look, being serious, it's great. And if it has improved, fantastic.
Chris is here with a bag of emails. Should we read them?
Well, he can.
Yeah, he can.
Okay, right, he can. Yeah, yeah. Okay, let's do it.
Email. We get email. We get your email every day. Here's your mail today.
Hello, everyone. I love that jingle. Hello, Chris.
I'm going to start hearing that in my sleep. One of those anxiety dreams of, I must read the emails.
I know. It's like that.
Pavlov's dogs.
It's something in Black Mirror, isn't it? It's just, every time you play it, it's just going to stir up images for you. Right, let's get to the emails, Chris.
Well, our first email today comes from a regular listener who tells me that his name is actually pronounced Dovrig. I've been pronouncing it David these last couple of weeks. He says, close but no cigar on the pronunciation. Sorry about that, Dovrig. Okay, his email says, hi guys, many thanks for picking up my query about why VoiceOver seems to be stuck on Daniel. One thing I've noticed since is when I switch to a non-English voice, for example, the French Thomas, it does seem to stabilise, although Thomas then reads out the voiceover tips in a highly accented voice, reminiscent of Constable Crabtree in Hello, Hello, Good Morning. It will be very interesting to know what Sean can come up with. In light of your recent discussion on learning Braille, well, here is my experience of doing it in my mid-40s. After growing up partially sighted, my sight started changing 3 to 4 years ago, and now I'm totally blind. When the problem was diagnosed, my wife, who is much more sensible than me, encouraged me to learn Braille. So, I got a set of the fingerprints course from the RNIB shop. It was available then, and because I had about 2 hours on a train in those days, ploughed my way through the books, getting to a fairly competent level in grade 2. My typing speed on an old Perkins I managed to get hold of is pretty terrible, as I have to spend a lot of time thinking about the layout of the cells, but it's been a good thing to have done, as it's let me carry on reading books without having to listen all the time, and the Braille coding was a very interesting thing to learn. The fingerprints books are, however, a little mad. There is an ongoing story about a couple which is used to teach letters and constructions. At one point, I'm pretty sure one of them had a gun and another had an axe. They end up in a stable relationship and having a child, but I'm pretty sure social services should be informed. If Sean wants the training manuals, he's very welcome to drop me a line. I'm based in Salford. Keep up the good work on the show. Very many thanks from Dovrig.
Well, there you go. Why does he get them? Why am I not getting them?
You don't deserve them. Because he's closer to me, that's why. Thank you so much. Yeah, actually, Stephen was trying to get hold of these. They were sold out, weren't they, when you contacted the RNIB?
Yeah, sold out and apparently not coming back anytime soon, which was the problem.
No.
Actually, trying to get these, it is a case of actually hoping someone out there has a copy. My question is, are the audio? Because I've got the Braille Primer, which is obviously the main teaching book that a lot of teachers use. And if you want to self-teach Braille, but the problem is it's all written. I can't read it.
The last time I heard about these books being available in audio, they were available in audio tape. Now, who still has audio tape?
I'll take anything at this point.
If it's audio, how can they be out of stock? Surely there's just MP3s somewhere. Or Daisy.
You'd think so. Yeah, you'd think so, wouldn't you? It is difficult to get hold of, yeah.
Can I just say, regarding the Mac voiceover, the system default voice, I haven't had any news on that this week. To be honest, I haven't done much this week. That's unusual, I know. But I will get back in contact with you. I will email you. And if I hear anything, I'll let you know.
Can I tell them what you've been doing this week? Do you mind if I tell them?
Yes, go on.
Go for it.
So Sean decided he wanted to soundproof his shed and has spent a ridiculous amount of, I have no idea how much money, but certainly time.
And time, yeah.
Sticking foam tiles to his wall of his shed. Tell them what you did last night, Sean.
This is fantastic. So what I did was I cut a circle into one of the acoustic tiles and I stuck my Echo Dot to the wall. And then I routed all the wiring through the acoustic foam tiles on my wall so you can't see any wiring. And it's amazing. It feels like the shed from the future in here now. I'm so happy.
So you've got a shed which is wooden with foam, which I guess may be flammable.
Yes.
If attempted. And you've run cables through it.
I've run all my cables and my LED strip lights all the way through the foam pads, but I'm sure it's fine.
Of course, it'll be fine.
It'll be all fine.
I'm going to get a smoke alarm next
month. I've got a phone number for you. I've got a phone number for you. 999. Keep it handy, all right? That's my gift
Thank
to you.
Thank you.
Right. I wish he was kidding. Don't try this at home.
I couldn't sleep last night. You two were leaving me messages saying, what's that smell? I can smell burning.
Right, what else have we got in the inbox?
Well, our next email comes from Nadia, who says, hi guys.
Hey, Nadia.
Hi, Nadia.
I was interested in your comments about Braille displays in the most recent episode, particularly your debate as to whether a Braille or QWERTY keyboard was better. Having experienced both, I thought I'd give you my view. I'm an experienced Braille user. The first note taker I ever had was called a Braille Lite. Sadly, they don't make them anymore. It was your basic Braille keyboard, 6 keys into rows of 3s, with a space bar in between. To perform commands such as opening or saving files, you just press the space bar in addition to a letter. For example, it might be O plus the space bar to open a file or S plus the space bar to save it, etc. It was easy to press the space bar with your thumb. I literally had it until I wore it out. Then I tried the Braille Edge, which I believe has also been discontinued. It sounds very similar to the device you were discussing, whose name I have forgotten. You had the Braille keyboard, but also computer keys, such as Control, Alt, etc. This presented a real problem for me. I have dexterity issues. I find it difficult to reach things on a keyboard. There are only 4 letters in the Braille alphabet that can be typed with one hand. I found it almost impossible to type a letter requiring 2 hands and then reach with any free finger to press the function key I required. I just couldn't reach them. I needed a 3rd hand to hold the control while I pressed a letter I needed to operate the command. I sent it back within days.
Aww.
I've been left some money recently and I hope to invest in a Braille display. I'm leaning towards either the Orbit or the Focus because of the basic keyboard layout. In summary, if you have dexterity problems, the combination Braille and QWERTY keyboard might not be for you. Incidentally, I can type twice as quickly using Braille than I can by touch typing, or I could before I develop my neck and back problems. I fear I may still have to use Dragon to write with, but at least with Braille display, I can physically read what I've written and correct mistakes as and when I find them. I hope that helps. Take care from Nadia.
Good advice, Nadia, as always. Thank you for your thoughts on that one. And there's more on Braille, I believe, in the emails box this week.
Yes, our next email comes from Kowal, who says, hello, I've been listening to the podcast and your emails regarding the Orbit Reader. When I was testing the device, I was told that there was a facility on it where you could learn Braille from it. It would be a great idea if you could get James Bowden on the show. He works for the organisation and he has done extensive work with the Orbit Reader. I'm a Braille transcriber and work for the organisation, and I do believe there are many resources on the UKAFF website where you can learn Braille, as there are so many audio resources on there for you. Many thanks from Kowal.
Never heard of that one. UKAFF. website, yeah?
Yes.
I've never heard of that one. That's
I'm trying to think what it stands for.
UK... Yeah.
Let's not go into that.
No, let's not
Yeah, great emails. Thank you.
No, they
are. Well done.
But I will say I have been in touch with James Bowden before we came on air. I checked out with James about this because I have to say when I heard the thought that the Orbit Reader would have its own inbuilt tuition, I thought, get me signed up now. Who needs a mortgage payment? Let's be honest. The bank can wait. But, well, unfortunately, no. The Orbit Reader does not have that function, Kawhi. It may be something, and certainly James suggested to me that maybe this is something that could be added to it, because it does have the capability of adding memory to it via SD card, but not, unfortunately, built in. So that's a shame. But, yeah, I was a little bit confused as to how that would work. But, yeah. Well, never mind.
It's a fantastic idea, though, and that was from an email, I think, was it from Barry last week, who gave us that idea? Sorry if I've got the name wrong, but, I mean, it just makes total sense to on an affordable Braille display to have something to teach people Braille.
Yeah, okay.
Well, just to let you know, the UKAAF, there might be a misprint there, but the UKAAF is the UK Association for Accessible Formats. They set UK standards for quality accessible information for users with visual or print needs, and the website is www.ukaaf.org.
Oh, thank you, Chris. This sighted guy thing is brilliant, isn't it? It's so useful.
Okay, moving on to our next email from Stephen, who says, hi, guys.
Not me.
Not that one. No. Listening to the conversation with Sally about her daughter's computer monitor dilemma, this conversation was the most interesting and engaging yet. I use the plug-in monitor. I place this monitor to the side of the laptop that I have and use it that way. I use the laptop's keyboard and facilities, just a larger monitor. I like it because I don't have to lean over the keyboard to see the monitor. I sit more upright and it allows me to get closer if needed and is much cheaper. Also, what I have found helps is some old-fashioned original technology. The handheld magnifying glass works for me, then the issues of screen moving around and relocating things is solved. And again, you can sit back a bit and hold the magnifying glass at a focus point that suits you. I hope this helps and hope to hear this on the radio from Stephen.
Well, you did. There you go. That's a really good point. And it kind of picks up again on this issue. I mean, I know Tim and Sean, we were talking about this last week with Sally, who came on, whose daughter was looking for a new computer. But what was the right solution for her? And we kind of came to the conclusion that, you know, she's got a laptop already. Could we just use that with a bigger monitor? And we hope we'll hear back soon from Sally to hear what she thought of that. But that seems like good advice, doesn't it?
It does.
Sadly, it does, because that's the advice you gave, Stephen. And yeah, I agree. Oh, if you've got the laptop already, why not?
Yeah. Okay, what else?
Next email comes from Gordon, who says, dear Tech Talk gang, why did nobody tell me about voiceover labels? I only have half a dozen photos on my phone. Since being blind, I don't have much need for pictures. Sometimes, however, it is helpful to be able to upload a new profile picture. Until now, I had to remember which date and time related to which picture. Now, with some sighted help to confirm what my photos showed, I have them labelled. One thing to note, though, is that the label relates to the screen you are on. So although I labelled my photos, when I tested posting a picture to Twitter and went to my photo library via Twitter, none of the photos had labels and I had to repeat the process on that screen. Just as well, I only have 6 photos. Once again, Tech Talk provided a solution to something that has been bugging me for months. Thanks very much from Gordon.
Thank you, Gordon. That's you, Tim. That's all on you.
Yeah, that's a great feature that I think doesn't get enough notice. The two-finger tap and hold brings up that menu where you can either get the text that's already there, which, like I said, I use a lot to grab some text sometimes from different places, or to relabel whatever it is that that you've highlighted. And photos is definitely a great way to use that to be able to do photos. But Gordon's right. It is app-specific. So if you try to do that in the camera roll, for instance, distance and go somewhere else and access the camera roll, it doesn't pick it up because it is within that app where it's going to be specific. But when you label it in different places, then it will hopefully stay labeled in different places. Although, like we said, if there's an update to an app or something like that, it can sometimes change labels and names. But it is such a fantastic tool.
Well, let's take a break from the emails. Give your eyes a rest, Chris, for a second. Let's go to one of our audio contributions this week.
Hello, everybody, including Chris. This is Beth from Virginia. Sorry I've taken your job this time around, Chris, but I'll do plenty more written emails, too. I just felt like voicing this one. I'm using Serotech's Sero program. And I just wanted everybody to know how much I enjoyed the Halloween show, whether it was on Halloween, whenever it showed up. Heck, I wouldn't care if it was Christmas. It was absolutely perfect.
Oh.
The sound effects were perfect. The voicing was perfect. Chris's reading was perfect, as usual. The poem was perfect. Everything was just perfect. So thank you.
Well, thank you for that, Beth. Very kind of you to get in touch with that and share your thoughts. It is very interesting, you know, when people talk about our Halloween show, because I thought it was an absolute mess, but people seem to like it, which is great.
It was a haunted train wreck, yeah. At least we thought so.
Yeah, exactly. I know. Right, let's get back to the emails then. Thank you for that, Beth.
Thank you, Beth. I'll happily relinquish my job to you for that one email. The next email is maybe my favourite of the week. It comes from Mark Upton, and you'll know immediately why, as he says, "Dear Sighted Guy Chris, ..
Oh,
and
right.
Others."
Oh, others. Well,
charming.
It's a mutiny.
Thank you so much for the show. It's always such a pleasure to listen, and on occasion, quite useful. I wanted to share some words of wisdom. Firstly, is it just me, but when I hear the jingle for We've Got an Email, I picture a centipede on roller skates dancing around a kitchen. What? I guess it's probably just me, but I now can't get it out of my head when you play it. There's that centipede. It goes by so fast.
That's just you. That's just you. That's great, though.
Secondly, from Mark, he says, Stephen is wrong. Shortcuts, or as it was, workflow, is one of my favorite features of iOS.
See?
There is so much you can do, even very simple things, like I have my favorite contacts on my home screen as home screen icons. All I do is double tap the icon, say for my wife, and it will call her.
Yes.
It saves me using Siri, particularly when out and about, or saves me fumbling through phone app or contacts app. This is just a very small thing, but extremely useful. I've also created voice recording features where it automatically records a note and then saves it in a pre-programmed destination or an app that will tell me how many days until Christmas and then create a text or a tweet or an email and send it to contacts. I know, very annoying. It is certainly not like being given bricks for your house and told to build it. It's like being given Lego and told you can create all sorts of buildings. If you don't like Lego, then there must be something wrong with you. It's so easy to use and no coding required. Do give it a go and see what you can come up with. I will make recording for this one day when I get a chance. Thirdly, 2 years ago, I got an iPad Pro 9 with an Apple Smart Keyboard. I use it for work, for notes, etc., for watching TV, amongst many other things. I'm now having a lot of issues with the Smart Keyboard not working properly. The connection keeps dropping out. The reason I got it was because I was fed up with Bluetooth keyboards and connection issues. Although I don't regret it, and I love the iPad part, it's definitely not a laptop. After a few minutes trying to do something work-related on it, I'm frustrated. It's a combination of the dodgy keyboard and then having to use the touchscreen more to navigate. I'm at that in-between stage where I use VoiceOver for my phone, but use Zoom more for iPad and desktop working. Lastly, I'd love to hear more about the Lookout app coming from Google. I know it's only Android at the moment, but the idea of a camera on a lanyard directing you past objects and other things sounds amazing. It may convert me to Android, at least for navigation.
No.
Thanks so much for the show. Please give a shout out to anyone living in the Oxfordshire area. Come and say hi at the Oxfordshire Association for the Blind. We're there to help with all sight loss needs, and we do a lot of training and advice on tech. Sorry this email was so long, from Mark Upton, my new best friend.
Yeah,
well done.
Excellent. Hey, Oxford.
Oxfordshire.
Oh, sorry. Hey, Oxfordshire.
Well, I'm not speaking to Mark because he told me I was wrong. So, you know.
He put you in your place and he killed your analogy. Well done.
Very well done.
Well, all I'm going to say is I'm going to treat... You're a fan of Silly Shortcuts, aren't you, Sean?
I am, yep.
Right. Well, I'm going to treat Silly Shortcuts with the same contempt that you treat Narrator. I haven't tried Silly Shortcuts properly, so I'm going to just say they're terrible until I've tried them, and then I'll probably tell you that it's the greatest thing ever. Have you tried these Silly Shortcuts? I kind of know in my heart that once I get my head around it, I'll think it's probably brilliant. But at the moment, I just think, why? Yeah, I know you think that as well, Tim, but I wanted to do it without me having to do anything. I'm too lazy for this.
Tim, come on.
Do we have time for me to chastise him over this again?
Well, I'll tell you what. Let someone else do it for us for a change. Because we had an email in from Wayne who wanted to send us some audio. And he did it for a reason. He sent us an audio clip for a reason to show us shortcuts, Silly Shortcuts, but also just have a bit of fun as well. Here's Wayne's audio contribution this week.
Hello, everyone. I'm Lady Lorraine. I know you're expecting Wayne to demonstrate the shortcut for accessing the RNIB online shop, but I have many years of presenting on the radio and the television. This means, of course, that I am much more qualified than Wayne to come onto the show, particularly when there are two other Scottish folks on the show. They need a bit of control from me too. Of course, we must also remember that Wayne is blind, so needs lots of help, as I've told him many times when he tried to do things on his own. I'm very inspired by sighted guy Chris too, who also makes sure that Stephen, Sean and Tim don't get the idea that they are in charge of the show. Don't worry, sighted guy Chris, that's just a little giggle between me and you. I just wanted to tease you a little. Not that I'm flirting though. You must remember that I'm a respectable woman, at least on the radio.
Kelly.
Now, on with the race, and I'm presenting on behalf of Wayne today. Wayne noticed some objection from Stephen on the last show, so I told Wayne that he had to show Stephen how shortcuts could be used for useful things by a blind person. I told Wayne that he had to use the same approach as Stephen, where he had to sneak into someone else's kitchen, pinch their biscuits and pretend he made them. Wayne thought a shortcut for looking up prices on the RNIB online shop might be a convincing thing for him to do. I said helping blind people wasn't the point of my presentation, just that it was nice for the audience to hear from Lady Lorraine. However, I allowed him to do the shortcut to access the RNIB online shop so that he would think he can make some decisions of his own. Anyway, here are the basic ingredients to bake the shortcut. 1. Pinch a shortcut from someone else that has the dictation and search routines readily available in the Sharecut website that Tim mentioned. 2. Change the search URL to match the RNIB online shop. Now, here's the helpful bit. Wayne didn't have the full URL to search the RNIB's online product catalogue. So, with a bit of obvious thinking on his part, he used the shortcut search facility within Shortcuts itself. He looked for searching routines for a shortcut. Guess what? Shortcuts had seen that Wayne was running a search on the RNIB's online shop and offered a routine with the right URL for the catalogue. Wayne needed to edit it a bit, but it gave most of what he needed. It still needs tidying a bit because it gives the full web page information for the product search rather than just the key result information, but it worked. Here comes a demonstration where I run the shortcut, verbally give the word search, and then the product result will be read out. At the moment, it reads the headers as well as the results, so the bit to be cleaned up is to have only the results text read. Watch.
You are here, home search results for watch, search results for watch. Large solar-powered radio-controlled talking watch, leather-strapped £65.99 inc. VAT, RNIB large tactile watch with brown leather strap £29.99 inc. VAT, RNIB small unisex tactile watch with blue silicone strap £29.99 inc. VAT, RNIB ladies tactile watch with diamante bezel and pink leather strap £41.99 inc. VAT, RNIB ladies tactile watch with diamante bezel and expanding strap £41.99 inc. VAT, RNIB children's tactile watch with ocean themed strap £29.99 inc. VAT, RNIB ladies talking watch with white leather strap £41.94 inc. VAT.
Okay, well, you get the idea. The shortcut can be run through Siri voice command and any word search can be used. So, no longer does Wayne need to load Safari, search for RNIB online shop, enter a search and then navigate results. It's all done on the shortcut, even the reading out of the result. So, Stephen, stick that in your sporran and shake it all about. I think that sure cuts one. Stephen, nil. I must say, I have really enjoyed spending time with you all. Sigh to Guy Chris, you're doing a great job. It's always lovely to hear your dominant tones in managing the group. Don't forget, though, only give them as much as they deserve. Toodle pip for now, and who knows, Lady Lorraine may be able to join you again sometime.
Well, there you go, Chris. Is that not incredible that you've just had a computer talk to you, and I've been ridiculed by the same computer?
I like the way, though, she's very, very chatty, very flirty, but she is potentially put me out of a job, so...
Yeah, I know, that's the other side of it. I will say, is that not Fiona? Am I messing up here? Is that Fiona, the voice of the Mac?
I think it is,
I think so.
The joke is that I think it was from last week where
it sounded like Lorraine Kelly.
Yeah. Who, by the way, I love. I love you, Lorraine Kelly, if you are listening.
Thanks for that, Sean. Right, anyway, moving on. No, listen, that does sound quite good, actually. I will try this out. I like what people are doing with this. I think it's really interesting, too. I mean, that is a really good example, actually, of what you can do with it that's very specific to us. You know, searching the store like that for RNIB. I like it. Okay, all right, I'll try it out. Okay, fine.
See, that was an excellent example, Wayne, by the way. I did have to edit that just a little bit to cut out the... It did read a little bit of the search web page itself, which is what Wayne said it needed a bit of tidying up. Mm-hmm. So, but I mean, as an example, fantastic.
Yeah, thanks for that, Wayne. Brilliant work there. Okay, right, let's get another email from Chris Sighted Guy. Chris, while he's still got a job.
Well, this one comes from Alex Ramzan, who says, "Hi all, I've been listening to the podcast for only a few weeks. Got a lot to catch up on, I know. Anyway, I was wondering, what do you guys think of the new iPhones and Apple Watches now having them for a month or so? Thanks very much from Alex."
Welcome to the show, firstly. Hello.
Yes. Yeah,
thanks for listening.
Lovely to have you here, Alex. Well, hang on. Did you get your new Series 4 watch yet, Tim?
I have not. I am waiting. I may actually wait until the first of the year or at least closer to the holidays, but I have not gotten it just yet.
Are you waiting for Apple to have a sale? Are you seriously waiting for that? You're going to be waiting a long time.
No, not waiting for Apple to have a sale, just waiting for me to have the extra several hundred dollars to get it. But
He's waiting for his wife to go out.
Waiting for my wife to drive me to the nearest Apple store that's about an hour away. But I just financial reasons. If otherwise, I would have it already. But I will have it very soon.
All right, make me feel bad. Right, okay. So I've got the Apple Series 4 and also the new iPhone XS, and yeah, I'm loving it. I am loving it. I love the watch. I think the Apple Watch Series 4, and I also read a blog from a guy called Stephen Aquino, who's quite popular on Twitter, and he writes a blog, and he's written it, I think, for TechCrunch, which was saying that he felt that the Apple Watch Series 4 was the best watch for blind people. This was like the one. As we always, we have a standard now here at Tech Talk, which is the BE, the blind edition. And Series 4 Apple Watch seems to be it, in the sense of it's fast enough and responsive enough with voiceover, where Series 1 wasn't. I know you've got Series 1, Tim. I don't know how you put up with it.
But it's a little slow.
It is a little slow. That's putting it mildly.
Yes.
I just couldn't put up with it, and I had to get rid of it. So that was why I didn't bother with it. Series 3 wasn't too bad, but Series 4 is excellent. And, yeah, you're going to enjoy it when you get it, Sean, for sure. Alex, if you and Tim, Sean's never going to get one. Tim will get it. Sean's too busy buying Indian.
Setting fire to my shit.
And yes. Setting fire to things, yeah. Hope your insurance is up to date. That's all I'm saying. I'm just, check your documents, make sure, okay? So
you hated the original Apple Watch. You it was in a drawer for ages. So the very fact that you use this one, I think, shows that it is the one. It is the one that works.
A couple of things I'm not sure about with it, but those are things I'm going to bring up with Tim on a separate occasion, because there are certain things, like when you get notifications, some just won't read anything that's on the screen, and I don't know why. So I'm still kind of figuring all that out.
I would like to, probably.
Yeah, we'll have to talk through that one and see if it's something specific or you. Yeah, we'll have to work on that.
More likely me.
I don't know.
Probably. It's good. And the iPhone XS, now when I got this, I wasn't impressed. I was struggling with it because this new layout without a home button and all of that. I'm actually much more cool with it now. I find that whole swiping up from the bottom thing a bit of an annoyance because I'm not always listening to the phone as much as I should. I mean, my concentration level seems to always have to be at max constantly. And, you know, sometimes in life you just don't want to be bothered with that. So that can be a bit disorientating when you sort of swipe up from the bottom and then you don't, or even worse, you swipe down from the top. And you want to get into Control Center, but it brings down your lock screen, and you've got to do it again, and then hopefully you get it this time, and getting rid of it all. And it's like, just put a home button on it, please.
Sounds a nightmare.
It's a bit fiddly, but it is something that if you take the time to get used to, and you're quite persistent about how you use it a certain way, and you sort of train yourself to use it a certain way, you'll be fine. It is a good piece of kit for sure. I do like my XS, but I'm still using my SE for work, and I still like that just as well.
And Face ID, are you getting on with that?
Yeah, actually, do you know that? At first, I thought it was quite bizarre because it kind of just did everything in advance for me, which it was almost too quick. I was like, hang on, I need to do something here. And it's like, no, I've done it, it's fine. Whereas now, I'm like, this is great, actually. Now, with Face ID, the new additions in iOS, which I have to say, I think the software is probably the biggest improvement more than any device.
Yeah, it's so good.
Password thing, you know, where you go to a website now and you go to the password bit and it'll say to you, right, Touch ID, or in my case, Face ID, to, you know, put the password in for you. Oh, just works every time. It is brilliant. So
yeah. Nice.
But you can do that on an iPhone SE or an iPhone 7 or 8 with Touch ID. So, you know, I wouldn't rush out and buy a XS if you can't afford one. I would say the SE's kind of gone, really, hasn't it? But the 7 or the 8 is perfectly fine. Or pick up an old 6.
Or even
6.
The 10R now.
Or 10R, yeah.
Oh, dear. what's wrong with the 10R? Okay.
Nothing wrong with it. I haven't, but just because I haven't bought it doesn't mean no one else should buy it. Why am I suddenly the guy that everyone looks to for answers?
You were just a little bit dismissive, that's all.
I'm not saying it's a terrible phone. I just chose the XS because I have standards. Right.
Moving on. Next email from Mark, who says, "Dear all at Tech Talk, thank you for a great show. Humorous, informative, and increasingly essential show for blind tech. A few things for your consideration and wittertainment. It is now about 1 year since the All Singing and Dancing Seeing AI was launched, and I wonder if it's time for a reappraisal. I have had a few updates and seems to be one of the most useful apps for the visually impaired. As a regular listener, I would suggest that a very useful item, indeed you might want to get all posh and call it a regular feature, would be a review and evaluation of the many and growing numbers of apps that are available. In fact, let me phrase this question on the matter. Does the RNIB have any information on essential apps? And if not, then why not? Oof. Keep up the good work. And yes, you do need more than 1 hour for all the info that you have to review and describe. Regards from Mark Morrison."
Tell me about it.
Oh, hang on.
Mark Morrison.
Return of the Mac.
Return of the Mac.
Here it is.
Return. Ah, that's the guy. Hello,
Mark.
He was listening. Hi, Mark. If it's not you, I'm sorry. But if it is you, I'm sorry. Right. Yes, that's great.
You've forgotten what he said, though, haven't you?
No, I haven't. No. But that point, yeah, okay, maybe a bit. But the point about the RNIB having apps, they used to have a blog called Tech No More, which I often thought sounded a bit weird. But
did you name
it was,
that?
Yeah, it was no, I. It wasn't. My, no, for once, I didn't name this.
So it sounds like something you'd
name. I know, but Tech No, it was KNOW, No More. So it was like No More, but
clever.
Tech. But
if you can see it,
Tech
clever.
No More sounded like you were against tech. But yeah, but they used to do this blog. They don't do it anymore, and that was where you used to get a lot of the app advice. You don't get that anymore, unfortunately. It's something I think RNIB would like to get back to doing, but. But I think just resources don't allow us to do it, unfortunately. So it is something. But you know, I take the point on board that it's something we should do, especially around seeing AI, because you're right. A lot has happened to that app, and it's funnily enough, I don't use that app a lot. I use Be My Eyes all the time. And I do the weirdest thing. I use Office Lens for documents, and then I scan them that way. And then I get OCR to read them, which is kind of silly because seeing AI would do it all. But yeah, it is an app to revisit for sure.
Tim will do that for next week.
Yeah, I'll get right on that. No, seeing AI is absolutely wonderful. Mark is correct. So many updates have happened to seeing AI over this last year or so that it's been out, or actually more than that. And its functionality is so good. It's so fast. It's so responsive. So yeah, we may have to look at revisiting seeing AI.
You may.
Well, yeah, you might. I think you should do that. Yeah, I'm doing the narrator thing. I'm busy enough next week. But yeah, actually, on that point, I did spend a bit of time this morning looking at the new BBC Sounds app, and I thought I'd share my thoughts. So I recorded this on my dictaphone just so you could get a sample of what the app sounds like and how accessible it is. I'll be interested in your thoughts.
Okay, so first thing I'm going to do is find the BBC Sounds app on the App Store. And to do that, I'll use Siri. Find BBC Sounds app.
Okay, searching for BBC Sounds app on the App Store. App Store, BBC Sounds app, search field, clear text, cancel, advertisement, get in-app purchases, advertisement, BBC Sounds, music, radio, podcasts, 2.5 stars, 912
rings. That's the one.
Redownload, button, loading.
I'm redownloading it because I have already downloaded it before, but I'm redownloading it just to show you how it works.
Downloading, BBC Sounds.
Okay, so now I'm going to go into the app.
BBC Sounds, your world of sounds.
Not seeing anything, so I'll swipe about.
Sign in, button.
Okay.
BBC account, heading, close, button, sign in. You've previously signed in as Stephen Scott. Do you want to continue with this account?
Oh, that sounds good to me.
Yes, continue, button.
And that's because I've signed into the BBC iPlayer app already on this phone.
Yes, continue, listen, heading.
So that's me in. I'm just going to swipe around to see what there is.
Listen live. See all station schedules. Button.
Swiping right.
Podcasts. Heading. Selected. End of days. Radio 5 live. Beyond Today. Radio 4. New. Strictly Come Dancing. Strictly Confidential.
So that's me in a list of podcasts. Okay, but I can go by heading. Use the rotor for that. So just rotor to headings.
Characters. Headings.
And then swipe down.
Continue listening. Heading. Music mixes. Heading. Daily discovery. Heading. Recommended for you. Heading.
Okay, so what's in there? So I can swipe right from there and that'll show me what's recommended for me.
In Touch, the future of navigating our streets. Button.
In Touch, okay.
Episode detail. Button. The Navy Lark, chasing the Kepik. Button.
It knows me well.
Episode detail. But David Attenborough's Life Stories, Series 2, Hummers. Button.
Okay, so there you go. So that's me in there. There's a menu at the bottom of the screen. Four-finger tap near the bottom of the screen. That's four-finger single tap.
Search. Tab. 3 of 3.
That'll take me to the very last item on the screen, so usually bottom right. So that's the search button. I'll swipe left from there, because if I swipe right, it shouldn't go anywhere else.
Search,
yeah.
Tab,
so
three
then
of three.
I'll go left.
My sounds, tab.
My sounds.
Three. Selected, listen, tab. Food, drink, button. Health, well-being, button. Drama, button. Science, technology, button. Documentaries, button.
So there you go, you can swipe around, you can try it out. It's completely free to download on Apple and Android, and it's fully accessible as well. What more could you want from the BBC? Well done to the guys. I'll be interested to see what Tim and Sean think.
Wow, well, as you said, it's accessible, it seems nice and easy to navigate. Fantastic. I've got to say, I don't listen to much radio on my phone anymore since the smart speakers, but, you know, it seems great. Well done, BBC.
Now, this isn't available with you, Tim, yet, but it's something that I think is coming soon via subscription. It seems, from that experience, very accessible right off the bat.
Yeah, from your brief demonstration there, Stephen, it seems like it's very accessible. Everything was labeled, which is always nice, and it just sounds very nice and compact and very impressive the way they've laid out everything. It's very easy to navigate through. Right now, as a radio app, I use TuneIn Radio on my iPhone, and that has a lot of BBC programming. I listen to BBC Four there a lot and other stations. So that's accessible and nice. But to have something like this, it's specific and this accessible, I think it will be a great addition.
So there you go. And I mentioned about signing in. If you want to sign in, you can actually do that on a computer as well. Do the whole sign-in process, sign up, I should say, for the BBC account. And then all you have to do is then just sign in on your device. And, you know, if you're using a Mac, you will find it's a lot easier because it remembers your password, which is amazing. If you're not, then you just have to remember your password. Right. I think we've got time for one more email, I think.
Well, that's good, because it's the last one.
Hey.
Comes from Greg in Pennsylvania, and he says, "Hi, Stephen and company.
Hello.
I think I've written Tech Talk far more often than I should, but I feel I need to weigh in with some responses to some listener inquiries. First, though, I want to give my sincere congratulations to RNIB on your 150th year. What a milestone. I also want to thank the show for the help it's given me in selecting my first smart TV. And I used your old features podcast to set up my Amazon Fire Stick and Fire Tablet. I saved all those feature podcasts for reference, and I hope you do more of them. Karen and others have asked about talking battery banks. The talking iWalk Secretary has been discontinued and replaced with a non-talking model. But guide lights and gadgets for the blind here in the US had a last run built for them and still has some in stock for a limited time. Two US resources for an accessible battery bank that uses beeps in place of speech. The AT Guys, that's www.atguys.com, and the Harbolt Company, www.harbolt.com. Regarding learning Braille, I too wish to echo the praises of the Hadleys Institute correspondence courses. I learned Braille from them when I turned 60, studying for 15 to 30 minutes a day in about 6 months. I guess you Brits have to put up with American spellings as we don't use all those extra U's and backwards E-R, R-E endings. It's a very well-designed series of courses with excellent feedback from the instructors. I guess you should not learn too fast as we don't want to make Sighted Guy Chris redundant. A lot of that today.
Oh.
I'm so glad you finally got around to mentioning a Braille device or two. Instead of spending a show predicting what the next Apple or Google event will feature, then a show covering the announced devices and software, and then a third show on how excited or not the event made you. I wish you would cover more Braille technology and other technology that makes our lives easier. I use a long-range Bluetooth meat thermometer with an iPhone when cooking, as well as a smart pressure cooker or slow cooker and an automated optical grill.
Wow! Thanks, Greg. It feels like I was given a present and then punched in the face. No, that was really nice. Thanks for the information on the battery banks, the accessible ones. It's a real shame that they've stopped making the speaking ones, but I'm sure there'll be another one around soon. They do seem to come and go. But thanks for that info. And the Hadleys Institute seems to get so much love. They must be doing a good job. And I totally take your point about our coverage of Braille devices. It is tricky because neither myself, Stephen, or Tim use Braille. So we do rely on other people and try to get other people to come on and talk about Braille devices. But sometimes it can be tricky. But yeah, I totally take that point. And yes, maybe we do talk about events a lot. But, you know, it is interesting. It is tech. You know, aside from the VI angle, which of course is the primary aspect for us. But, you know, just talking about tech is what we love to do. And hopefully people like that as well. But it's a totally valid point. And thanks for your email. It was great.
Greg, thank you so much for the email. We're out of time. Thank you so much for all your emails this week. And thank you, Chris, Tim and Sean, as always. Great to have you guys here.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And we'll catch you next time. We have literally hit the wire, but thank you so much. Check out the podcast for more and keep emailing techtalk@rnib.org.uk. Catch you next time.